Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. Welcome to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
Do you like fun and games? Do you like supporting the Stollery? Check the link below.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. Really do appreciate your ongoing support. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, my name is Michelle Toner. I'm the executive director of the Northeastern Alberta Aboriginal Business Association. Also a board member for the Arctic Winter Games, as well as a board member for Keanu College.
Okay, now it feels like the Arctic right now outside. It is almost minus 40 today.
Yeah.
So those Arctic Winter Games that are coming up, how's that all transpiring? Because the dates had to be moved around because of COVID. So When's it taking place? Are all the athletes coming? Like what are you seeing that's transpiring there?
Yeah, so the dates did have to be adjusted originally. The event was taking place in March, but now it will be starting January 29th until February 4th, I believe. Get the dates off all the time.
Yeah,
things are going full steam ahead. There we'll have one less contingent than normal.
What does that mean?
Russia.
Okay.
So Russia normally would send a contingent.
Right.
Given the current world circumstances, that isn't happening. But yeah, everybody else is coming. So teams are being selected, which is not something that happens at a host society level. That happens through the sporting bodies of the contingents. But yeah, full steam ahead. So just getting ready for, you know, sponsorship deliverables, ceremonies, tickets are on sale.
Yeah.
All those great things.
Nice. I've always wondered, because I know they stay in different places, but when the athletes do come up, like we have hotels here, but I don't think there's enough hotels for the volume of people who would be coming up to participate. Where do you house those athletes?
So there's a little, it depends on the event. You got to think, people say, look, I'll put them in the hotels.
Yeah.
With sport, there are safety issues, right?
Right.
So having two people in a room is not necessarily a safety issue.
That's right.
Right? The safest thing.
Yeah.
Looking at that, for this event, they will be staying in camp. So individual rooms for the athletes.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great. And then they, you know, I know sometimes there can be some controversy surrounding, you know, the students being in camps. Putting them in schools is a logistical...
Oh, no.
It's logistically very difficult, especially when you start looking at shower schedules and food schedules. They will be staying in camp, safe environment, food on site, their own shower. The other thing I think that people misunderstand, or that there's a misconception, is that athletes participating in multi-sport games have all kinds of free time to be in and engaging in town. Their schedules are very structured. And again, they are youth, so they have to be supervised.
That's right.
So, you know, they will be in town. You will see them. We are providing busing options for the athletes to get out to the other facilities.
Right.
But there's not that level of freedom that there would be with, you know, a bunch of adults coming to town hopping in rental cars and things
that. Yeah. And they have gym facilities out at camps too. Like, these are athletes. They're going to want to work out.
I mean, I think, you know, when you're in the middle of competition, there's probably less likely that they're having full workouts during the week, to be honest, because their competition schedule is pretty tight.
Yeah.
But like rest, recovery, sleep, eating, there's lots that goes on during a multi-sport games.
So are there people that think that camp is not a good idea in regards to, like, every time I hear about the Olympics or like bigger sports, like there's always like they stay in a village together, and that's part of like the camaraderie and like the whole experience?
I think it's more of a economic impact discussion.
Yeah.
And people may feel that because they're not in town, that the participants are not engaging in our local economy.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Gotcha.
When really, you know, that's not exactly how it happens.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Now, speaking of travel, the reason we're sitting down here today is you and I were on the inaugural flight with Flair to go to Tucson a few weeks ago. How did you enjoy Tucson?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had so much fun. I think even day one or day two, we were talking about, my husband and I, you know, like, this is a place we would come back to.
Mm-hmm.
We could see ourselves coming back with the kids. Girls trips, guys trips. I think it's a place that really has a lot for everyone.
Yeah.
The other thing we both discussed was great opportunity to fly direct from Fort McMurray to the U.S.
That's right.
And then go on
there,
as opposed to having to drive down the highway, park the whole bit, just leave from home and then get a connector out of the U.S. So it was awesome.
That's right. And like, I looked into it while I was down there. I didn't go down with a huge itinerary of things, but like I did a little bit of research, and part of my thought process was like, if I run out of things to do in Tucson, which you won't, I would just go to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which is only like two hour drive down the highway, and then you get to a huge airport as well that just opened up the rest of America.
Absolutely.
To you.
Yeah.
And you could rent a car, which was somewhat affordable. But
I found the rental cars to be very affordable, actually.
Yeah.
You know, been traveling lots in the last year and a half, and we said, okay, will we rent a car? Will we not?
Mm-hmm.
And when we decided to rent a car, we were like, why wouldn't we rent a car?
That's right.
Super reasonable and very accessible at the airport. So the airport is a nice size, not overwhelming. You know, you're not like getting there hours in advance and long lineups and things like that. So we really had a very speedy checkout getting our rental car. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, I looked into a bus. It was $20. $20 to get to Phoenix. And there's just like, and there's tons of buses that go like all throughout the day there and back between Tucson. It's just like, man, like if you didn't need a rental car, or if you wanted to like conserve money, $20 to get down there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So what did you get up to while you were there? What kind of activities did you do?
Well, we're big fans of Mexican food. So lots of checking out local restaurants.
Okay.
So really three really great Mexican breakfasts, which was amazing. And the one thing that we did notice right away was that the customer service was amazing. Amazing.
Top notch.
People were so friendly. Even, you know, in the mall, at the gas station, everywhere we went, super, super friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely checked out lots of restaurants. I think, you know, next time that would be something we do more of.
Right.
We did stay at the JW Marriott Star Pass, and we could have not left that place the whole time and been completely fine.
Okay.
So tons of restaurants on site, golf, pool, hiking, cultural teachings. Like it was great. But we did get out and explore. So the restaurants were amazing.
So I didn't stay there. I rented an Airbnb downtown. You're not the first person to like explain this concept to me. So this, I just thought it was a normal hotel, but it sounds like you were almost in like a resort almost.
Well, I mean, it is a normal hotel. It's just like your traditional hotel, but I think it is considered to be a resort.
Okay.
So with your fee that you pay to be at the hotel, nine holes of golf a day included, driving ranges included, multiple different restaurants. Every day there was a local knowledge keeper from one of the tribes there, and he did a beautiful ceremony where you would make a prayer satchel, and then you would go through the process of, you know, making the prayers, folding the satchel, then you put it in the fire, and then we also made one to take at another time. And then following that, there was a guided tour around the grounds. I've never seen so many cacti in my life.
Yeah,
everywhere. We didn't get to go on the tour the day that we got up to go. It was at 7:30 in the morning, which was a stretch when you're on vacation, but I really wanted to do it. Actually, the teaching started at 7, but it rained the morning that we were going to go. But yeah, that hotel was great. We did say next time I think we would stay in town. It's a little bit out of town, so like maybe a 10 minute drive, 15 minute drive to the heart of downtown. So then we Ubered back and forth, but just like I think for walking purposes next time I'd like to stay downtown to have a different experience.
Okay, we're going to take a pause. We're going to throw to an ad and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
And we're back. Thank you very much for your ongoing support. Okay, so yeah, myself and Tanner, we did stay downtown. We walked. And the cool thing about the downtown, when it comes to food, was there was no chain restaurants in the downtown core. The only chain restaurant that we saw, which is super cool, is a vintage Dairy Queen, where like you literally like had the drive-thru and the walk-thru and the picnic tables outside. But like as far as like McDonald's, Burger King, In-N-Out, like you had to leave
a little bit more on the outskirts,
the downtown to get to, which I thought was like a really cool concept, because they had like burger places and everything you wanted to eat, but it was all like local. Which was your favorite Mexican restaurant that you went to?
We went to a place called Baja Cafe for breakfast, and it was just it was great. And I heard like some other people had gone to different ones, and again, like it's only so many meals so much time. You don't want to spend your whole vacation eating. But yeah, it was really great. Now, the one thing we didn't get to do just because the schedule didn't line up, but we did go to the University of Arizona campus. So, of course, we're big NCAA fans, huge post-secondary fans. So just went, walked around the campus. Beautiful. Stopped at a student bake sale. Went to the bookstore. Just took some pictures. But yeah, so there was a NCAA basketball game on the Sunday that we were leaving. Starting at the same time that we were leaving, which was unfortunate. We had just missed, I think there was a basketball game the night we flew in. So those schedules didn't really align, but I could totally see like taking the kids down, you know, going to catching some volleyball or some basketball. I think the flight schedule may not allow you to see football. But you know, like we went to the stadium, drove around, all of those things. So, you know, to have that in the core, and then, you know, we contemplated driving to Phoenix to go to a Suns game, but we were like, you know, like we're here to see Tucson. We want to be in Tucson and stay in Tucson.
Yeah, because it was a Suns game on Saturday. I was thinking about, there's just so much to do in Tucson. There's just so much.
Well, we did you go to the Aviation Museum?
No.
Amazing.
No.
So, like, not a huge flight buff, but, you know, my husband did some time in the military, and one of our other friends that was with us is a pilot. So we spent, I think, 4 hours at this Aviation Museum. There was 5 separate hangars. There was, like, all the old Air Force Ones, like JFK's Air Force One.
And you can go in, or can you just look from the outside?
Just from the outside.
Okay.
But, like, there was some NASA exhibits. There was, like, all the planes from Top Gun, and, like, the ones from, what's that movie? And the plane crashes in Vegas.
Oh, the one with...
the Prisoner movie.
Con Air.
Con Air plane. But just fascinating, like uniforms through the years, and like a whole female flight exhibit. So cool.
And that's outside of the airplane, like I don't know, they call it a graveyard.
The graveyard. Yeah, so apparently the airplane graveyard's closed right now. Like, you can't go to that. Right. Yeah, but totally yeah. separate exhibit.
Oh,
super cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
There's so much to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was overwhelming. Like, my Airbnb literally was two blocks away from the university campus and maybe a 10-minute walk from the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got lost in doing stuff downtown. But like yourself, I just walked around campus. And it's so interesting because I'd never been to an American campus before.
Oh.
Like, I've been to Canadian universities and colleges, obviously. But man, it was like, it was exactly what you see on TV.
Oh, amazing. So I went to grad school in Windsor, Ontario, which mm-hmm. is right on the Detroit border. So I had the opportunity to go to the University of Michigan campus.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, they have their own hockey arena, and they have their own football stadium, and they have their own busing system.
Yeah.
And the University of Arizona was very similar, like the University of Arizona busing system. And the other cool thing that we saw was like a ton of robots delivering things all over campus. I don't know if it was just on campus. I didn't see it downtown, but everywhere I was like, we are in the space age right now.
I was walking down the street and I saw this cooler. There'll be a video about it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the hell is that? And yeah, it's like,
at first I thought it was like Domino's pizza delivery or something.
Yeah.
Cause I had seen some stuff about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just super cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw that too. Cause mm-hmm. I've been talking to some people about it and they never noticed it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was, I only noticed it around the campus area, but the campus area is literally massive. Like a city in itself.
Yeah.
So I was just like, maybe that's only where it's at. So I'm glad somebody mm-hmm. else saw those little cooler robots.
Yeah.
I was strapped for time. I wanted to follow one
mm-hmm.
and just to find out like, what's in there? Is it food? Is it books? Like, I had no idea.
I was like, is it in our office mail?
Yeah.
I don't know. The other great thing that we did, and I know you had the chance to see it too, was the historic area and the town hall
mm-hmm.
and the city center with all of the exhibits. And, you know, just a very simple exhibit.
Yeah.
But really great and interesting.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that and really enjoyed the hot dogs from the food cart. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I think it's a place that you can continue to go back to and have mm-hmm. a different experience. You know, I know some girls that were there last weekend and they went on a bunch of wine tours. I'm like, oh, didn't even know that wine tours were a thing.
That's right.
But yeah, everyone just had super different experiences.
Yeah,
I know some
completely.
People from the arts community found some great vintage shops, found some art places, some cool, lots of really cool coffee shops.
Yep.
And the weather was great. I mean, it did rain one of the days we were there, but the other day it was like 25. So people were at the pool and doing all those great things.
Even on the rain day, it wasn't cold.
No.
Like I went and got a poncho. Like
one of those 40.
Yeah, it was minus 40. Yeah, exactly. I went and got one of those like plastic garbage bag ponchos and just like mm-hmm. kept walking around because it's not like cold. It wasn't cold rain. Like you could still you could still manage. But we went to one restaurant. You were there that night. I sat with you. El Charro.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time ever having real Mexican food in my life.
Oh, really?
It was delicious.
I enjoyed it as well.
It was really, really good. Yeah. But like I have a list of Mexican restaurants to check out next time I go back. But like you said, there's only
so much time.
So right? much time.
So many meals.
That's right. And like my experience is completely different from yours. Like I stayed in the downtown core
mm-hmm.
and like saw like I call it White Ave and Jasper Avenue for anybody who's ever been to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Like those were the two main streets where they have like all the local shops and local restaurants and bars and stuff. And the one thing that I will say that was exactly like yours was the level of customer service and how friendly people were
mm-hmm.
everywhere I went.
Everywhere, yeah. I think that surprised me, actually. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like even at the mall,
mm-hmm.
everybody that was like super, super helpful and super friendly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a really great experience. I think, you know, the other questions that I've had about the trip has been like, ooh, what was the flight like? What was the plane like? I'm like, brand new.
Yeah.
Pristine.
That's
clean.
Right. Yeah.
Again, flair service.
Yeah.
Super friendly.
Yep.
No issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minimal turbulence even.
That's right.
Minimal. And like you're flying over mountains and like it was windy and snowy and changing of the pressures and stuff. Yeah. Like a great experience.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I don't know. I'm like 100. I would not hesitate to go again.
Yeah.
Like just hop on and go. And in 4 hours, be there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I don't know where this conception that the plane is not going to be nice comes from. Like, I've flown on Flair a bunch of times.
You know, I think Canada's not used to having real discount airlines
where
it's like, okay, your flight is your base.
Yeah.
And then everything else is an extra. I think that's where the misconception comes from.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't accurate. You know, I also flew with Flair on their inaugural flight to Vancouver and then to Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, great service, you know, all the amenities are there.
That's right.
You know, in-flight entertainment is an app.
That's right.
Same as on their competitors'
That's right.
websites
That's
or
right.
Planes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we've already been talking about, like, okay, when will we go back again and where will we stay and what will we do with the kids and things like that. So, you know, I have guy friends that are asking me, like, hey, how was the golf? You know, me and my buddies are thinking that maybe we'll go golf this winter instead of going skiing this winter.
That's
switch
right.
it up.
Yeah.
Direct flight.
Yeah.
You get there.
Over 40
and I heard that they
courses.
Just changed the flight time so that you arrive earlier in Tucson now.
Oh, nice.
So you're not arriving at midnight. Like, you're arriving at, like, 8.
Oh, sweet.
Which is perfect. So you get a little bit more time
That's
to,
right.
you know,
That's
to do
awesome.
That. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So we're at your office,
mm-hmm.
not in your office, but at your at your office. What's going on with NABBA?
Always busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just had our Christmas open house.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah,
yeah, it was great to see our friends. Just about getting ready to launch our sponsorship for golf. You know, January might seem early, but people are looking, need something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So we'll be launching that and then just plans underway for our annual Aboriginal Business Showcase, which is always a huge event. Looking at speakers and things like that, doing some work. We're going to have a networking event with Careers as well. So really hoping to link our Indigenous businesses with students and the employees of tomorrow as
That's
well.
Right.
What else? We just launched our shared services program for our NABBA members. So they're able to in-house get support with marketing, communications, human resources, and finance, which was a long time coming, the process of getting to where we are right now. So we just launched last week.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So we have some great new staff members on board. It's been busy. It's been great. Looking forward to the new year. I think there's lots of big things on the horizon. Lots of people reaching out and wanting to know more and learn more, really working with our partners. So, and happy to finally have this building officially opened.
Right.
So we did our official opening in November.
Yeah.
And then we were able to have our Christmas event. We were able to work with the Northern Lights Health Foundation to host. They were presenting the Queen's Jubilee medals. So able to provide our space and work with them as partners to do that. So it's really great to have the energy of the community come into the building as
right.
opposed to it just be a nice place where I come and work every day.
That's right. That's right.
You know, like I said, we added some team members and
one
of our incubator offices, they have more staff there too. So there's people and energy and life in the building, which is, I think, what people have always envisioned for a NABBA space, that it will become a hub. And, you know, as we keep going down the road, I think more people will see it as a place to come and be, so it will become a hub.
That's right.
And ultimately, like, that's our goal, right? Is unity in Indigenous business, and really having this space as a place where people can come together.
Yeah.
So, you know, the vision's becoming a reality and it's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm excited about your showcase. Cause I remember Mike Hall used to have an Indigenous program at Father Merck that I participated in. I think it was the Paul Martin.
It was, the Paul Martin Entrepreneurship Program.
And it was so good for those students in regards to, like, we sat down with them, we prepared them to, like, ask questions and, like, hey, listen, like, these people could potentially be your employer. Like, get ready for that. And it was great to see, at first they were so shy, but then by the time they get to the fifth and sixth booth, they get their confidence and then they're able to engage with, like, potentially, like, their future employer or an adult in general.
Right.
And so then they got to learn a little bit about the business. And some of those students actually were able to line up summer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
While they were there to be like, here's my resume, maybe give me a call. Oh, yeah, we're looking for somebody with your skill set.
Right.
So, like, it's a great thing, not only for the businesses, but I really, like, saw the benefit for, like, the young students who went to that.
Well, I think engagement of the Indigenous workforce is really a priority. Mm-hmm. And we've been having some conversations just in general, you know, about, you know, where's the provincial strategy for engaging the Indigenous workforce. And I think it's an important conversation to have. We do work closely with Careers, and they do amazing programming for Indigenous youth. And, you know, our businesses that are part of NABA, they really understand that, you know, there is a labor shortage. Engagement of the Indigenous workforce is important, and who better to engage Indigenous youth than these, you know, brilliant, successful Indigenous business owners.
That's right.
So as part of our Aboriginal Business Showcase, we're going to, in advance, do this networking event with Careers and our Indigenous businesses to connect them. I know last year we had, you know, I had members saying that was the most impressive group of kids I've ever interacted with.
That's awesome.
They had a great experience. The businesses had a great experience. So it's just a win-win for everybody. And I mean, like, people keep saying, like, you know, who's going to hire these kids? Well, we are.
That's right.
Members need to be hiring these youth. So, and it's not just in skilled trades, you know, it's nursing, it's marketing and communications, it's IT, it's all of those things. So really looking forward to that opportunity. And, you know, it's great to see when you see those young kids thriving, even if they're not your own. It's a real like proud moment to watch them, you know, shake hands and introduce themselves and talk about themselves in a way that you're like, that takes a lot of courage. Like, there's grown adults that can't do that.
That's right.
And here you are in your teens being able to have those conversations. It's just going to put them on a whole different trajectory.
Yeah. Facts. Well, listen, Michelle, that's the end of the show.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're more than welcome. Now, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug, though. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Oh, wow. Shameless plug, I guess. What am I plugging? I guess, you know, I have a couple of different hats here. So I will say, you know, if you are a NABA member and you're watching this interview, please contact the office about the Shared Services Program. We have the program in place because we want to be of support to our members. If you're a community member and you're looking for a travel option, Tucson, you know, don't count it out just because maybe you're unfamiliar with the area or unfamiliar with the travel process on a discount airline. Great experience both ways. And if you are a local resident or somebody from outside the area interested in the Arctic Winter Games, please, there's going to be amazing opportunities both for, you know, mainstream sport as well as our traditional Indigenous sports. So Dene and Arctic Games, some things that most people may have never seen before. So, yeah, there's the three things, I guess.
There you go. Well, awesome. Cool. Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Big shout out to all our sponsors. We do appreciate your ongoing support. I hope everybody at home is having a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.